All right, got one for you.
Huh? Yeah.
Got one for you. So the church should be like a community center.
Okay.
Doing all kinds of events, doing all kinds of ministries. Calendar should be super full.
Mm.
Everybody comes to...
Capital campaign to make our church like a YMCA, like with a pool suite and a basketball
fitness
court,
center.
Fitness center.
Daycare.
Everybody comes
daycare,
to the church
school,
24 hours.
For their spiritual needs to be met.
Yes.
Not spiritual. Spiritual and physical.
Spiritual and physical.
Yeah, yes. Holistic. You can't separate so, the
yeah. Everybody comes to the church, to the leadership. Yes. We know what yes. is best for the church.
Yes. Yeah, and we should make our own movies. because...
Are we starting a new movie ministry here?
Yeah. I mean...
We have cameras. Yeah.
I mean, we really want to know creativity and artistic, married with truth, capital T. Christians can do it. And so...
We could create a list
mm-hmm.
of all the problems that we have as human beings, and our church could start meeting every one of those problems.
Yes. Right? Because we can. We're the answer. We can solve it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Multiple initiatives. That means we need to hire all kinds of staff. If it all depends on the church, then we need to have more staff and everything mm-hmm. to make sure that all those ministries run, the programs run exactly how they should.
Well, I think you should probably just take over town hall and let's just run the government and do a better job.
Cool. That's so
you look all uncomfortable, right. Dewey, so, with me saying that.
All right,
we're not talking about that.
So is that our strategy?
So we're having some fun with this. So this leads us to our core value of strategic disciple making. As we think about being rooted, reaching wide into the world, the strategic disciple making. What in the world do we mean by that? What does that mean?
Okay, can we start with it's not what we were just saying? Okay, I don't think that's strategic
all right,
at all.
Let's just make that clear.
Yeah.
So that anybody who might watch this would say,
but why?
Oh, yeah. They weren't being serious.
Our sarcasm isn't that there are valid needs. Our sarcasm isn't that we should, as Christians, blend spiritual and physical. Like what I do physically matters. Mm-hmm. Our sarcasm's around the fact that we see ourselves as a church as the solution to all those.
Well, we become the savior. We become yeah. Jesus.
Yeah.
We're not sinners saved by grace pointing people to grace.
Yeah.
We're not, you know, humble and humbled people who is just, I'm not any better than you. The only difference is that God saved me and changed me and he's working on me. And I can't give you anything, mm-hmm. but I can point you to the one who can change your life.
Amen.
And so if that's true, then yeah, if you can help people, but if you wrap your whole identity around providing the needs for people, then you become the savior
mm-hmm.
and you can get to a point where you don't need Jesus really.
And if we do that as a church, we see our church as the savior.
Yeah.
Right. And so here at Living Hope
Church,
I mean, I think that would be why we focus on being a Bible preaching church, because we believe pointing people to Christ, to his word, is going to be the answer to a lot of these physical issues.
Yeah. But you have the title of equipping pastor, and you have the title of a community outreach pastor. I'm the senior pastor, so that means I've really got it all together. So why don't we just have everybody just come to us and we'll meet the needs?
Like, well, when people come, what you have to do is then you have to tell them to come back. So this is what you do.
Yeah, keep them coming.
This is how you save people. I'm being sarcastic again, okay? You can't invite people to Jesus. You got to invite people to church.
Mm-hmm.
And when you invite people to church, then you got to invite them back to church. Mm-hmm. And then just hit repeat on that.
Yeah.
Or...
So you're the guy who does all the community outreach around here.
So I just
you have the title, community outreach pastor. Yeah. That's what you do. Yeah. No one else does that around here. You're the equipping pastor. Why do you have that title?
Well, because I oversee all the equipment of the church. No, so can I illustrate by a story?
Please do. I think those who might watch this might need a little clarity at this point.
So I'm the equipping pastor, and it comes out of Ephesians chapter 4.
Mm-hmm.
Is that where you're at?
Yeah, can I read that real quick? And then you can jump back in. So God gave some as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ.
Okay. So equipping of the saints for the work of service.
Yes.
To build up the body of Christ. So the people that are doing the building up really aren't the equippers, but the people that are part of the church, which we are part of the church. So we're being equipped as well to serve the body. But so quick story, we were looking for a community outreach pastor.
Yes.
Blair and I were collaborating, talking to our search team. Who do we want? We narrowed it down to two people. The first guy, really solid guy, seemed like a really good guy, high character, highly recommended. Give him some scenarios. What would you do for outreach? And, you know, oh, we could do this, you know, festival where we invite all the people to the church and, you know, have a community outreach, which I'm not going to knock that. I mean, people were saved that way. Mm-hmm. It's great. But then we had this other missionary named Dave, who was like, yeah, I've been training all these leaders and we've been, you know, equipping people and we're seeing the church grow and people are baptized. You know, it's like, well, are you the one doing all the baptize? No, in fact, one of your, do you remember what one of your questions to us was?
Yes. I had, this was the, in my mind, when I was looking for a church, this was one of my red flags, that this is one of my test questions. And it was really, how do you feel about releasing the authority of baptism to believers?
And we looked around. I remember one of our elders was on that search team, and it's, well, it's fine, you know? and I think that that's the summary of what we're talking about, is we're saying the body is strategically designed. God, you know, Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them. Is he saying delegating baptism to the clergy? No.
The ordained,
Yeah, so we're saying we're focused here more on people than we are programs. Yeah. The one guy that was a missionary, high character, good, solid guy, was talking more about programs.
Right.
And Dave is bringing to us a focus on training people.
Yeah.
So.
And I think what we're saying as a church is we want to be biblical, and we have all kinds of, there's all kinds of gifts within the body that God has given. So we want to do our best to try to train the people to go and do the work of the ministry, and even train trainers who train the people to go to do the work of the ministry. So we actually have an example of that, like that's happening right now with the preaching teams, preachers that have been sent out to the various newer churches in the area too. So you want to tell a little bit about that as a celebration to what God is doing?
Yeah, one of them is Salem New Beginnings, just 4 miles north of here. Mm-hmm. We a number of people from our church have been able to fill in with teaching. And then there was another church in Cary Memorial Evangelical Church. They had to pay a heavy price financially to get out of the United Methodists, and they're pursuing independent evangelical. They're trying to recover their identity. It's easy to look at churches like that and go like, well, good luck. But we see this as an opportunity of, hey, what if the Holy Spirit is tapping some men on the shoulders in our church, inviting them to something that they've never considered, like helping this church who is just hungry for someone to come in, to open the Bible, to explain the scriptures, to point to the gospel of Jesus and new life found in him, and that they can give encouragement and they can show love to Christ's bride, and not in a way that's judgmental, like, oh, you did too little too late, but rather, hey, this church is committed to continuing, and they want to move towards becoming everything that Jesus wants his church to be. And so how can I not want to be a part of that and journey with them? So I'm just impressed, like, God raised up people for both these churches from our church. And it wasn't something, and it wasn't part of my strategery. It wasn't like a plan, right? It was just like, yeah, the end of 2013, this is what I'm going to do. Rather, it was the situation in our city has created this need. You had all these churches trying to move and paying a cost towards health, and there was an opportunity, and we got to ask ourselves a question: what kind of church are we? Are we one that equips the saints for the work of the ministry, where we can see people go and help and invest in other churches and not just, you know, invite everyone to come here? And so we made that decision. And so I'm excited to see what God's going to do with it.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, it's really neat to see, because it's not just one or two men who are going out and teaching, you know, and maybe upwards of, you know, seven or eight guys between these two locations. Maybe there's more, but who can preach and teach, and, you know, they're getting an opportunity to grow in that too. So that's strategic disciple making. We're training people who then go and do the work of the ministry, and then they will go and train other people too. So
would you guys agree that God has in many ways brought people to us that were leaders from their church?
Like that's a pretty common story within our local church here. Yeah.
And I wonder if part of the reason that they're attracted to our church is because there's opportunities to fulfill their gift versus to just be a cog in the machine of ministry. Because I think what burns people out in ministry is when the machine of ministries is grinding. Yeah. And maybe you're a teacher, but man, you know, the church needs you to do this event that they do every year.
Yeah.
And that event is all hands on deck, everybody. But it's like, but I'm not using that gift. So instead of doing what you're called to do, you end up doing what you're guilted into doing, and you get burnt out.
Yeah.
So I think God has given us the clarity here. Is like, we're focused on doing Sunday mornings really well.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make that experience a healthy experience, from the welcoming that you talked about to the worship service, to our community groups, to the conversations in the hallway. Yeah.
Bible teachings, all that stuff.
Bible teaching. We have family groups. We have Bible study groups. We want to do those really well. We do biblical counseling, and we train people. I mean, and of course we do, you know, children's and youth, but they're focused kind of on the same things and making disciples. And that's like, that's what we do. We make disciples here. Like,
so I think you can put another comparison of those two paradigms. One would be, every Sunday morning we invite people to Jesus. The best thing you can do is invite people to church so they can be invited to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, what we're saying is, actually, each and every one of you are qualified by God to invite people to Jesus. And inviting people to church can help you as you're inviting people to Jesus, right? And so it's about inviting them to actually take a step into something they never thought of. A number of people on our preaching team like has never done this before, right? It's exciting, but we're not talking about, God has blessed us with people who have already had experience in ministry, but it's, for most people, this is a step into something that's new. And that's the kind of church we want to be, because the harvest is plentiful. Problems are opportunities. And if you look at the problems and the opportunities around us, I'm just like, far be it from me to hold anyone back from exercising the gifts that God has given them. And just do it by faith that I know it is God's going to bless our church, and he's going to bless others. And I don't have to worry about, you know.
And that's where I think it becomes scary. Because, man, it would be nice to hold those people in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Our four walls.
I like them.
Right.
Like them. Don't want them to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that we have to have an open hand with that. And that's where we have faith that God is going to backfill and he's going to do what we need here to help us as a ministry to continue making disciples.
Yeah. Back to a previous point you made, just like we're trying to equip people and send them out, sometimes our people move away and they go to other churches. So we pray they'll be a blessing to them. But we're also the recipients. You know, people have moved to Findlay. I mean, you made that point.
Yeah.
And we're reaping the benefit of what other churches or disciple makers have invested into them too. you know, in the Bible, I think about Paul talking to Timothy, the things you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust these to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. And then at the end of his letters, he's like, you know, I've got this guy's with me, and I sent this other guy over here, and you see all these, you know, like strategic moves. Mm-hmm. I think of Philippians, he sent Timothy and is it Epaphras?
Mm-hmm.
I can't get the name right.
Yeah, Epaphras.
I don't know if I'm right or not, but anyway, sent two guys over to Philippi, and you know, because he's like, these are my best. I'm sending them to you.
Yeah.
And so that's equipping and giving away and trying to build the kingdom. And that's what we're trying to do with strategic disciple making.
Yeah, there's dozens of people in the Bible who Paul calls his co-workers and co-laborers in this co-equal kind of saying that it's not that I'm above them, it's that they're partners with me in the gospel. Mm. And you see them Jew and Gentile, man and woman, you know. It's amazing. And Paul's mission was beyond his own skills, and it was beyond his own calendar, and it was beyond his own availability. Paul was able to leverage his absence.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to use him. It's good for me that I'm not here mm-hmm. right now, because now you have to figure it out as a church, right? It's interesting that you look at the hot, sweaty mess that the Corinthians were in. First and second Corinthians, he's like, hey guys, I want to visit you, but God has opened up a door in Asia. I'm going to stick here. You guys are going to have to figure this out. I'll give you some guidance, right? You should kick this guy out for going out with his mom. That's not a good idea. All right, he's repentant. You should welcome him back in, you know? So he's given direction, but they have to execute.
Mm.
And so you think about like leadership development, like Paul was a prime example of what it looks like to develop leaders. We send people, we receive people, but however they're going or they're coming, we're always looking for what is God calling them up to next. Mm-hmm. And we want to get out of the way to provide opportunities. And it's the same thing. It's like, I hope that the preaching team, I will never have to fill in the pulpit.
Right.
Right. I'm there as the backup coaching. Of the backup of the backup. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, it's the same thing. It's like Paul's like, I didn't come to baptize. Oh, shoot. I did baptize a couple people, but that wasn't my purpose, right? So it's kind of like we're kind of the church that the first thing we ask when someone wants to get baptized, the first thing I often ask is there anyone special in your life that helped you come to Christ that you would like to baptize, for them to baptize you? You know, maybe they come and join in, maybe they don't, and we end up doing it, but it's kind of a privilege to be able to invite someone, hey, you were instrumental in leading this person to Christ. What better person, right, to be able to enjoy obeying the command to baptize?
I know we've joked about it. Have we ever had somebody that that led somebody to Christ? So maybe you baptized them, and then they turn around after they just got baptized. They led somebody to Christ, and they turn around and baptize that person. Where you actually see this strategic.
We've kind of had it, but it's messy. Because here's the thing that I think we see in practice. I have an example. I don't want to name the names, though. Yes, I think so. But it's messy because it's usually not like one person leads another person to Christ.
Yeah.
It's almost like one person is part of a cloud of influential people who help someone come to Christ. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like I've seen people come to Christ and I could say, I led this person to Christ. Truth is, it's like, well, Blair was preaching, he did it too. And you know, this person was doing a Bible study with her, so she did it too.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Jesus led him to Jesus, God led him to Christ, and we got to be a part of it. I think we have seen examples of people who come to Christ, who came to Christ and were part of baptizing somebody, but it's not as clear cut as like, you
know. But that's the picture, I think. I see kind of in my mind this picture where you see strategic, like, disciple making, like, that's a great illustration where, you know, we have definitely seen a father baptize his children. Like, there it is. It's like that father is a huge influence in that child's life. And so.
And our vision is to build into the people who are here because each person has their own networks of relationships that other people don't have in the church. Some of them overlap because it's a small town, but, you know, it'd be interesting to see. I'm not sure how, if you could map this out or if the return on investment of time would be worth it. But I'm wondering if everybody, nearly everybody in Finley is covered somehow through a network of relationship through somebody who's in our church.
Yeah.
But that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to empower us to represent Jesus in our homes, in our neighborhoods, at our workplaces, and that's strategic disciple making. So it's not, we're the church, we have the answers, bring everybody here. We're the spiritual one-stop shop place, full service is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
We're trying to help you grow into the gifts that God has given to you and to experience the work of the Holy Spirit in your life as you minister to other people.
And I think that perspective even expands. It's easy to look at disciple making in our church in terms of like, well, if you look at, okay, who are the people that came to Christ, got baptized, became member of the church? That's one question you can ask. And you're like, well, some people left, all that kind of stuff. But the other one to ask is like, look, like we've seen people come to Christ and then got plugged into other churches.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen people who came to Christ that got plugged into us.
Mm-hmm.
We saw people, right? And just with everything else, it's not like one person leads one person to Christ. It's usually a community.
Yeah.
And so what, it's not just about Living Hope Church. It's about gospel churches,
right, mm-hmm,
in Finley. And so we see lots of coming and going between churches, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes people go to a church because they already have connections there, and that's good for them because they need, you know, Christian relationships and, you know, and community that they already have. It makes sense to kind of flock together in growing in Christ. So kind of like going back to just the open-handedness, it's just like, yeah, look, we trust, we're doing our job if we're stewarding the gospel, not keeping it to ourselves, and then we're releasing and empowering people to do everything that Christ commanded them to do as disciples, mm-hmm, and then we empower them, equip them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're doing that, we're going to see people come and go, and we're just going to see the kingdom grow. People are going to be taking steps of faith and growth and in maturity, and we can celebrate those instead of necessarily counting individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Because that could be just a very, very narrow-minded way of looking at it. It's not about our church. It's about the true church in Finley.
Christ's kingdom.
Yeah.
Let's take this conversation over into the next core value, which is courageous evangelism and missions. It's all linked together because disciple-making, I've heard you guys say that, is that discipleship begins and ends with evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how we say it? So like Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And then you've got the Great Commission like Matthew 28 and other places. And Acts 1, go be my witnesses. And so when we talk about, first of all, let's talk about what is evangelism. Let's define what evangelism is. What does the word mean?
Evangelism comes from the phrase good news.
Mm-hmm.
And it means that you are sharing the good news and inviting people to respond. The good news about Jesus, mm-hmm, his death, his resurrection, and how that has implications for you. The forgiveness of sins, God's leadership in your life, and new life and a bright future of eternity with God is a free gift. And all that's called upon you is to change your mind, to turn, to repent, and to trust in Jesus, to throw yourself on what God has offered you and let him change you from the inside out. That's evangelism.
And so you notice in evangelism, Dave is sharing a message.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So one of the popular ideas is, well, I don't have to say anything. I'll show it. Yeah. I'll live it. And I think in there's also a belief that if I'm attractive, somehow someone will get to the point where they're going to ask me a question. Yeah. Of how come you live that way?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I mean,
maybe.
Not usually.
Maybe.
Not usually. Yeah. There comes a point where you have to take a step of courage, mm-hmm, where you open your mouth and share that message. And I think, you know, that doesn't mean that I think courageous, you know, evangelism and missions could be you going to be a missionary overseas, but it's got to start at very least with you going across the street or sharing with that family member. Because, mm-hmm, if you can't do it there, you're not going to do it in Africa.
Right.
So
I think about 2 Corinthians 3:12, Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech.
Yep.
So that word boldness, clarity, courage, forthrightness in our speaking. But why do we say courageous evangelism missions? Like you talk sometimes about there's that 3 seconds of awkwardness.
Yes.
You've used that little phrase before.
Yeah.
Can you expound on that a little bit?
Yeah, 3 seconds or 6 seconds or 7 seconds. There's a couple seconds of insanity.
Yes, there you go.
It's you just like, oh, wow, I am now crossing into spiritual matters with this person.
Spiritual.
Mm-hmm. I'm now teeing up to talk about Jesus. Mm-hmm. What am I doing? This is my boss, right? Mm-hmm. And that's always there. I cannot count many examples where I've seen people come to Christ in powerful ways where I felt it was like there was no dog barking, there was no distraction, mm-hmm. there was no awkwardness, and there wasn't that couple seconds of insanity of mm-hmm. like, wow, I'm really getting into this now. Okay, here we go. And, you know, to go back on the boldness on, you know, the whole thing is like, well, I need to show the gospel, earn the right to share it mm-hmm. before. If that's your approach, you're only going to be able to share the gospel with people that you think you're actually better than them. Hmm. How do you share the gospel, right, with the marathon executive who is cleaner than you, more put together than
you, accomplished,
smarter than you, has a better looking family than you, has it all together? How are you going to show that person? Yeah. How are you going to attract that person?
Yeah.
Because you know how messed up you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so the power of the gospel is not in living a better life than people. Mm-hmm. It's that you have a life-changing message to share.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know it because it's changing you. And they will see some of the gospel in you as you let it change, as you let God change you. But if you're putting the cart before the horse, if you think that you're going to build a relationship and woo them to Jesus without ever revealing that the most important relationship that you have is one that's by sheer grace, by faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
So that's just the danger of trying to do good to woo people to Jesus. The other problem is if you try to, you know, like just do good deeds and, you know, if necessary, use words, share the gospel, is that you don't understand how much, if you don't understand the gospel, if you're far from God, if you're not a believer, then they're just going to chalk it up to you're a good person.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It doesn't mean anything.
You're a good citizen.
Mm-hmm. All right, good. You're squeaky clean. That's mm-hmm. great.
Or I've seen this too. It's this big rope-a-dope where you kind of build this pseudo relationship with somebody and mm-hmm. in order to like earn the right to like, you know, trick talk them into them, yeah. a conversation. It's like, you know, mm-hmm. just be real with people. And I think that takes courage.
So what are you doing when you do this to somebody where it's like you kind of build a relationship strategically to share the gospel, then you finally reveal it because you've been hiding it for some reason because you can't be upfront about you're just bananas over Jesus.
We always hide the most important things to us, don't we?
Yeah. And so it's like, it's almost like you're dating somebody, right? And then you pull out your wedding ring, put it on and say like, I need to confess, like Jesus is the most the most important person in my life. And then what if they're like, I'm not into that. And it's like, well, I'm not going to hang out with you anymore. Cause I'm going to go, it's like, how do you not feel used when that happens?
Right.
You can build relationships and be upfront about,
who
you are. Mm-hmm. It's like, Jesus was a big part of my life and part of my story. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll share more of that someday. All right, let's go, you know, hit some golf balls.
When you guys are talking about, you know, winning people through good works and not sharing the gospel, I've been studying John this week for a message coming up, but when it talks about John the Baptist in John 1, it mm-hmm. says he was not the light. He came to testify about the light. Yeah. The true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. So and even John, a little bit later in John 1, they're like, who are you? Are you the Christ? Are you Elijah? Are you the prophet? He's like, no, It's not, that's the, mm-hmm. you know, he's coming after me. So he's all about pointing to Jesus. I'm not the light, guys. He's the light. And when you guys are talking about that, just the light bulb went on.
Well, it goes back to our conversation, like where we try to be the savior or we try to make our church the savior, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it's we're pointing people to Jesus, and yeah. it's best to lead with that, to be upfront with that. And that takes courage.
Yeah. You know, one of the visions I have for our church, myself too, is that we continue to grow and share in the gospel and planting mm-hmm. gospel seeds and, you know, seeing people. I guess what we're trying to count as a win around here is taking the gospel risk.
Yeah.
Going out, sharing the gospel. We're not in control of who actually comes to faith in Jesus. We believe mm-hmm. that's God's department, God's territory. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to happen if the gospel isn't shared. So that's our what we're trying to equip people, share the gospel, plant the seeds in the community too. So
I think if you're listening to this and you're just like, how do I start? Mm-hmm. This might seem a little strange to you. I would say the first place to start is really start preaching the gospel to yourself. The boldness to share with others, if you really care about other people and their eternity, then really apprehend the gospel for yourself. Know that how much God loves you in Christ. Know that you have forgiveness and Jesus is worthy to lead you. And that Jesus is seeking and saving the lost. And as you preach the gospel to yourself and you actually apprehend it for yourself and you start walking in it and living it, you're going to know how to talk about it with mm-hmm. people because it's going to be part of who you are. We often want to jump to, all right, how do I get to the presentation? If you want tools, I got tools. Three circles is great. You know, a life in six word, tools are fine, but it needs to start with it bubbling up within you because the gospel is the good news that has changed your life. And you need to keep walking in that. And that's the best training. The best training is preach it to yourself. Right. And then you'll talk about it with others. Mm-hmm. You won't be able to help it.
Yeah. Great. Let's talk about missions now. This all goes together. So when we talk about missions, what in the world are we talking about? You're the missionary. You know all this stuff.
Well, this is full circle back to when we talked about our mission statement, right? Mm-hmm. So it comes from missio, comes from apostello or whatever the Greek is. It's mm-hmm. to sent out for a purpose, right? And so Jesus sent the sent out ones, the apostles. The apostle Paul is the sent out one to the Gentiles and the church. And all of us are lowercase a mm-hmm. sent out ones because we're sent out with the commission to proclaim the gospel. So the mission is that not only are we sent out, but we're sent out to every tribe, tongue, nation, language. The covenant to Abraham was every family of the earth, every clan, I guess you can say. Mm-hmm. And then the command in the Great Commission of Matthew is panta de ethne, which is all the nations. And that's like language group, familial group, ethno-linguistic group. And then the picture of Revelation in heaven is that every tribe, nation, and language is going to be gathered before the throne. Mm-hmm. These are all the people that are purchased and made the kingdom of priests for our God forever. And so that's the mission that God is after every tribe, tongue, nation, language, every family of the earth, every place, and every people. And that's where God's going. And so to be sent out on mission is to be in line with God's mission for all the places and peoples of the world.
Sounds awesome. A little biblical theology and mission there.
Yeah.
But why in the world would I do that? I'm an individual Christian. Could cost me a lot of money to do missions. It's going to cost me time and vacation. Could cost me my life agenda to do that. Why wouldn't I just delegate that to the super spiritual missions people?
Okay, to do that first, stuff? It's already been delegated. Because it's actually not you doing it or the church doing it. It's actually what God's going to do. God is the one who is reclaiming the nations for himself. But he has invited you to be part of it. Mm-hmm. And so that's exciting. So it might not mean that you sell everything and you go and live in a tent in Africa. Well, maybe it does, mm-hmm. right? But actually, it could be like you pray for Africa. Maybe it is you give towards missions. Maybe it is you go on a short-term trip. Maybe it is you build a relationship with missionaries over there and you pray for them and you encourage them and you find ways to rally around them. Mm-hmm. You hold the ropes for them. So there's so many different ways you can be part of it, but what you are part of is God's mission, not yours. So you should first unburden yourself from the guilt and the urgency that it's all on you. Mm-hmm. Rather, you should be like, I don't want to miss out on the awesomeness of fellowship with God on mission, mm-hmm. you know?
Sounds like you've thought about this stuff before.
Yeah, I might have.
Nicely done. But what are we seeing God do in our church in terms of missions and partnerships with missionaries and supporting missions and relationships? There seems to be a groundswell happening here, which I think is exciting.
So, I mean, right now we're in the midst of our Christmas giving project. Mm-hmm. So that is supporting missionaries from our church, mm-hmm. people that either grew up here or, you know, they fellowship with us. When they come home from the field, they call our church their home church. And so we're partnering with them, and that's in conjunction with our missions care team. So we're trying to do a good job of building relationships with our missionaries. We have 50 some supported
like ministries. 55 or 56. I can't apprehend the exact number. It keeps moving away from me. But
we have varying degrees of connectivity yeah. with those individuals and organizations. But with our missions care team, we want to try to do a better job of letting those missionaries know that we're here. And that we are listening and we're praying and we're caring for them.
Yeah, this past Sunday, I rolled into the parking lot like 8:15, and there was all these cars in the parking lot already. I was like, that's kind of odd. Did people go on a retreat and just park their cars there? But the bulk of them were people in this missionary care team meeting for the first time.
Yep.
So that was exciting.
Yeah.
All these people jumping on board. So yeah, I want to support a missionary with love and connectivity. So
this is really something that I just think that God did this in our church this past year, because I think God has grown us over the years of being a sending church, mm-hmm. sending out
yeah.
homegrown missionaries, a giving church, yeah. a praying, a supporting church. However, it's like there was just that sense of need of like, especially with missionaries on the other side of the world who would still say that we're their home church mm-hmm. or we're their anchor church. You know, we could say, oh, they're over there. We don't have a responsibility to shepherd them or all that kind of stuff. You can probably make your excuses, but in the end of the day, what kind of family do they have mm-hmm. In Christ? And so why wouldn't we take the uncomfortability on ourselves to say, no, just because you're out of sight, you're not out of mind. Mm-hmm. Like, let's connect. How are you doing? Tell me about the work. What can we praise God for? What can I be praying for? And really just build relationships with our missionaries, not in any kind of forced way, but I was surprised at just the number of people who wanted to be part of this team. It was way more than we expected.
Yeah.
And I think it was just people stepping into something that God has been prompting. So I'm excited to see what's going to come of it.
Yeah, I think in our church has always had a heart for missions. And then when you put these, like, even if the smallest step forward in an initiative, more people come out of the woodwork. They're like, yeah, we love missions. Like, well, I didn't know you love missions that much. That's great.
Yeah.
So when I first came to the church 2010, the elders had already set a goal of having 20% of the budget to go towards missions by the year 2020. And I have, you know, I've learned about missions. I have a heart for missions and outreach too. So God kind of brought us together in a marriage. And so over the years, we've been able to raise that giving percentage. This year, I think we're at 25 to 26%. Last year, this year, we're at about 24.5% or so. So we're in that 25% range, which is great. And people really got on board with that early vision of the elders about missions. But now we see, like you had just said, it's not just the giving. It's like, okay, the giving went Zoom, mm-hmm. and maybe their relationship stayed down here, and now we need to catch the relationship up. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, the personal connection there too. So, And the missions team has started talking about a couple of trips in the new year. I know there's one in February, I think, Dominican Republic for construction. So if you're interested in that, if anybody watches this interested in that, let us know. We can get you connected. But so God's doing good works, and we just want to continue to grow to make Christ known across the nations, rooted deep and reaching wide into the world. So,
amen.
Amen.
Anything else to add with that, guys? All right, that's our core values, and hopefully that's helpful for people just to kind of know where we're coming from and why we're doing what we're doing by God's grace.